Dragnet.
The Jack Benny Program.
I'm that man. Matt Dillon, United States Marshal.
George Burns and Gracie Allen.
Good evening, friends of the Inner Sanctum.
We offer you Escape.
Our Miss Brooks.
Suspense.
Richard Diamond, Private Detective.
Fibber McGee and Molly.
The Great Gildersleeve.
Yeah. Radio Theater.
In the Air.
Dedicated to man's imagination, the theater of the mind.
You know what our call letters WGN stand for, don't you?
WGN Radio Theater.
The special three-hour presentation.
With Carl Amari and Lisa Wolf.
All right, about 8 minutes after 11 p.m. here on the WGN Radio Theater. Thank you, Vic Vaughn. And to my right, the vivacious Lisa Wolf. What's up, Lisa?
Hey, Carl.
And it is classic radio night here on a Sunday evening. Gunsmoke is coming your way. William Conrad stars as U.S. Marshal Matt Dillon. And then Lisa's uncle, Nero Wolf, is on the air. Yeah,
I know. I'm really
great
excited.
Great uncle or what uncle is
he? My great-granduncle.
Oh, great-granduncle. Yeah. And how come he spells it with an E, Nero Wolf?
I think we dropped the E somewhere
at Ellis Island,
that
maybe?
That must be it.
Okay.
Yep.
The New Adventures of Nero Wolf, starring Sidney Greenstreet from 1951. So some fun radio shows. But right now we're going to play our fun game. It's Cat's Pride. Is it real or is it ridiculous? Well, is it, Lisa?
It is real and we are playing it.
Okay.
You know that line from Seinfeld?
Yes,
they
it is
are real.
And
they are
who's
real.
The celebrity?
And the celebrity is Robin Williams.
Okay.
Good one.
All right. And the number to call, 312-981-7200. What do they win?
We're going to give away a Lou Malnati's gift certificate.
Wow, that sounds
so
good.
So that's a great prize. And we're looking for caller 7.
7. Caller 7. 312-981-7200. Play our Cat's Pride Real or Ridiculous game live on the air right after these words.
Come on, baby. Let's get ridiculous.
All right, we just
We're going to play our Real or Ridiculous, but something went wrong with our phones and we lost our callers.
Yes, well,
so
we'll just play it and then we'll have a Lou Malnati's gift certificate in the next hour.
All right, okay, no problem.
So I'll play it.
All right, you play.
All right.
Okay.
Ready.
You're going to play by yourself?
Yeah, I'm playing by myself.
Okay.
Phones aren't working.
Sounds good. Okay, Robin Williams. We'll see how you do, Carl.
Okay.
First one. John Houseman was the man who initially saw his talent while being trained at Juilliard. Is
wow.
that real or ridiculous?
Man, that's a good one.
You say that every time.
I'm gonna say ridiculous only because you're so sneaky.
I am sneaky, but it's real.
Oh, man.
And you know I'm a big John Houseman fan, so that makes perfect sense
I'm
for
off
me.
To a bad start.
Okay, let's try this one. We're talking about Robin Williams. His big break came when he was cast as an alien on Happy Days in 1978.
Now, that I know actually happened. I don't know if that's his big break, but I think that might be his big break. Yes, real.
That is real, and that is true. Of course, his character, Mork, they spun off into Mork and Mindy.
Yeah.
So, yeah. You don't even need that. I can do it for
Got
you.
Got one.
All right, here we go. Robin Williams won an Academy Award for his role in Good Will Hunting. Is that real or ridiculous?
Oh, man. I don't think so. I think that's ridiculous.
It's real.
What?
Wah, wah, wah.
Are you kidding me? I got that wrong?
You did. You don't need that. I got it. Wah, wah, wah.
Man. Well, then why did you buy me this $10 gadget from Walgreens?
Because I knew you'd love it.
I knew that there was an Academy Award, but I thought it went to like Ben Affleck and the other guy.
Well.
Ben Affleck and what's the other guy?
Robin Williams.
No, the other writer. Why can't I? Matt Damon. I thought they won an Academy Award for writing it.
They may or may not have.
I think they did.
But that's not the question.
So he won for that role?
I didn't make it up.
As the mathematician?
He was great.
Wow, I didn't know that.
He was great, and he deserved it.
You learned me something, Lisa.
Oh, good. I'm so glad, because you know, usually know everything. I'm shocked.
All right. Well, hopefully we'll get our phones working.
Yeah.
And we'll play Cat's Pride, Is It Real or Ridiculous, in our next hour.
And we will give away the Lou Malnati's gift certificate in the 12 o'clock hour, so stay with us.
Okey-dokey. Our number here to text in is 312-981-7200. That is working. The text in line is working. 312-981-7200. We love getting your texts. We love hearing what you have to say about the show, or if you want to hear a specific program, we'll be happy to play it for you. But right now, it's time for Gunsmoke. This was an adult Western series created by Norman McDonald and John Meston, came to radio in 1952 and lasted, Lisa, all the way to 1961. These were stories in and around Dodge City, Kansas in the mid to late 1800s, and Marshal Matt Dillon wore the badge, and he took care of the bad guys in Dodge City. William Conrad starred as U.S. Marshal Matt Dillon, and Parley Bear, who later was the Keebler Elf. He was the main Keebler Elf. Remember those commercials?
Of course.
And he was also the mayor on the Andy Griffith show. He played Deputy Chester Proudfoot. Howard McNear, who was the barber on the Andy Griffith show, played Doc Adams. Georgia Ellis was Kitty Russell. And then it made a transition to television in 1955 with a completely new cast. James Arness starred as Dillon. And that television show was ranked number one from 1957 all the way to 1961. It was the most watched show, number one program on TV. Well, you're going to hear why, because we have a radio episode for you now from August 16th, 1952. It's called The Lynching. This stars William Conrad as U.S. Marshal Matt Dillon. Here's part one of Gunsmoke.
There's just one way to handle the killers and the spoilers, and that's with a U.S. Marshal and the smell of gun smoke. Gun smoke, starring William Conrad. The story of the violence that moved west with young America. The story of a man who moved with it. Matt Dillon, United States Marshal.
Over here. All right. Let me get this noose around your dirty neck and you'll be swinging in no time. There. Not too tight, is it? I wouldn't want you to be uncomfortable.
That's enough of that, Cam.
What? Who said that?
I did.
I said it. Bryce Stewart. What's the matter, you turning yellow?
And get this over with, Cam. Why devil him? Because that's what he is, that's why.
Shut up. I'll take care of you in a minute. Bryce, you got anything against my hanging this murderer?
Just don't devil him, that's all. Get it over with.
I'll do it my way. It's my brother he shot, isn't it? And in the back, too.
Here you go.
Rice, maybe you'd like me to turn this bushwhacker loose. Is that it?
Well, ask him his name. Nobody's even asked him his name.
You'll hate this night. All of you. I was in on a lynching once, and I swore I'd never be in on another.
Well, I guess the joke's on you, isn't it, fella?
Look, I hear you laugh again, Cam, so help me, I'll shoot you.
Maybe you shouldn't be here, Rice.
How can you hang a man you don't even know his name?
What do I care what his name is?
So long as he pays for murdering Job.
What's your name, fella?
What do you care? You don't want to stop him. You just want it off your conscience, that's all.
Tell me your name.
It's Billy Saxton, that's my name, Billy Saxton. How's it sound?
Billy? Why'd you kill Job Powell?
That's enough talk.
What difference it make? He killed him, and that's all I need to know.
Yeah, what do you care? Gonna hang me anyway.
Sure I am. Right now.
Billy, I got a rifle. I'll end it for you when we ride off. You won't have to strangle for long.
Thanks, mister. Thanks.
Get back, Rice. I'm going to slap that horse out from under him. You ready?
That's for you!
Let's go, men.
Seal the hour of their death. Grant that we may pass our days in the practice of holiness and justice, and that we may be able to quit this world in the peace of a good conscience. Amen.
Amen.
May Job Powell rest in peace. Amen.
Amen. Go ahead, boys.
Good morning, Ken. I'm sorry to be here about Job.
You're late for the burial, Marshal.
Well, I was out at Fort Dodge last night. I just heard about it this morning. Preacher?
We are in the Valley of the Shadow of Death, Marshal Dillon.
Well, if you're all through here now, I wonder if you'd read a few prayers over another man we got him in a grave just over the hill with.
Another man?
Who was this man, Marshal? How did he die?
He was murdered last night.
I didn't hear about any murder outside of Job here. Where was this shooting, Marshal?
It wasn't a shooting. It was a lynching.
I just buried my brother, Marshal. Billy Saxton shot him in the back. Aren't you using the word murder a little loose around here?
Only the law can hang a man without it being murder, Kim.
The law's too slow sometimes.
You know something about this?
All I say is that he shot my brother and he deserved hanging.
Hanging, maybe. Lynching's a different matter.
What difference it make? He got what was coming to him.
He had a fair trial coming to him, like any man. For example, Cam, I'll try to see that you get one.
What?
If you're guilty of leading that lynch party.
Well, say it out, Marshal. You accusing me?
I got no evidence.
And you won't get any. There isn't a man in the country who'll stand still for bushwhacking. Saxton got his due, and that's that.
Maybe. All right, come on, preacher. Let's bury him.
Whoso sheddeth man's blood, by man shall his blood be shed. Genesis 9, 6. Show me the grave, Marshal.
Why don't you just arrest Cam Powell, Mr. Dillon?
Yeah, he won't admit anything, Chester, and I can't find a witness.
Must be somebody who'll talk.
Cam's a bigger man than ever now with Job dead. The others don't want to cross him.
Mm-hmm. He owns a lot of land, all right.
And Job also owned a piece of the bank. Cam will get that now. Ranchers always need money, so they won't talk.
Yes, and maybe they're ashamed, too, Mr. Dillon.
Yeah, maybe.
I saw lynching once. And not a man there could look in the eye for a long time afterwards.
You weren't in on it, were you, Chester?
Oh, my gracious, no, Mr. Dillon. I was just a small boy. That was back in Waco. They hung a cousin of mine there.
Oh, why?
Well, sir, it's kind of hard to explain. He was about as honest a fellow as I ever knew, outside of some loose notions about other people's cattle. But, Mr. Dillon, I just don't believe that struck him as stealing.
Why not?
Well, because there wasn't anything personal about it. if you know what I mean.
Well, I don't, but maybe you can explain it to me.
Well, sir, just that there was all those cattle running loose on the plains, and I guess they seemed like a natural part of the landscape to him. He figured anybody could own them.
Your cousin wasn't very bright, was he, Chester?
I didn't know him well enough to say, Mr. Dillon. But anyway, they shouldn't have lynched him.
No. No, they shouldn't have. And nobody's going to get by with lynching around Dodge if I have anything to do with it.
No, sir.
I heard Billy Saxton was at the Texas Trail last night. Maybe I can start there.
He sure must have hated Job to kill him like that, Mr. Dillon.
Yeah. I'll be back later, Chester.
Yes, sir, Mr. Dillon.
Hello, Kitty.
Hello.
Well, I can remember when you'd give me a smile. What's the matter?
Nothing, Matt.
Someone been bothering you?
You might put it that way. Where were you last night, Matt? Why weren't you around?
Yeah, Chester and I rode out to Fort Dodge on business. It was late, so we slept there. I thought this town could go one night without trouble.
You sure thought wrong, didn't you?
You're upset about the lynchings, I did.
That's it. Aren't you?
I heard Billy Saxton spent some time in here yesterday.
I hate men. I think they're awful. Savage beasts.
It'd be worse if it weren't for the law, Kitty. Now, tell me about Saxton.
He could tell you himself, Matt, if you hadn't picked last night to wander out of town.
Now, Kitty, this isn't like you.
I'm sorry, Matt. He seemed like such a nice kid.
Where was he from? I never heard of him around here before.
The Dakotas, somewhere. He was just a cowpuncher looking for a job. No more a gunman than I am.
No, you can't be sure, Kitty. You say he'd ever been in Texas?
The Powells came from Texas, didn't they?
Amarillo.
Well, they never mentioned Texas one way or the other.
What did he talk about?
Horses, mostly. How he'd like to have a little spread of his own someday. And a woman.
I see.
And he talked nice about it. He wasn't like these hard cases around here.
Anything else?
Cam Powell was in this morning. Told me not to talk about Billy. Especially to you.
No? What'd you say?
I told him I'm not afraid of him, but maybe you are. So why didn't he warn you against talking to me?
That pleasing?
I also told him if I was a man, I'd kill him.
Who else was in on it, Kitty?
I don't know. One thing, though. Rice Stewart came in here last night. Must have been afterwards. He sat over there in that corner and got drunk all by himself. Real drunk.
It's not like Rice.
No, but maybe he was in on it and couldn't stand himself afterwards. Maybe that's why he had to get drunk.
Well, I'll go see him.
Anyone who was there would be in trouble, too. Wouldn't they, Matt?
Yeah. I have a feeling Cam really headed this thing, and if I can prove it, I'll have him up for murder.
I'll keep my ears open, Matt.
Thank you, Kitty. I think I'll ride out to the Stewart Ranch. Rice isn't a man who can lie with much conviction.
Good luck, Matt.
Yeah, I'll see you later.
That's the first portion of Gunsmoke with the lynching from August 16, 1952, starring William Conrad. We'll be back after these words. You could do that sound effect, too, can't you, Lisa? Pretty good. Pretty good, Lisa.
Thanks, Carl.
If we need a cat sound,
I'm the one.
You are getting paid, and you probably get paid
Better than I get here.
Well, you would get union wages for that, you know, voiceover work, right?
Whatever. You Anything know? I got would be a step up from this.
So we have, so yesterday we had a promotion. We said the next 50 people that sign up to the Classic Radio Club will join for the first month for a dollar. And I maybe wasn't really clear about the entering the radio in the promo. So we're going to do it again. So we're going to do the whole thing again, because what I ended up doing is just refunding people their money. I didn't want to have any problem with that. So here's what we do. The next 50 people that sign up to the Classic Radio Club, they can join for the first month for $1. Now, you do have to pay the shipping and handling, $4.99, if you're getting the CDs. But if you get the digital membership, $1. Right, Lisa?
Well, let's back up a step and talk about what the Classic Radio Club is. And here's the story. We want you to be a member of the Classic Radio Club. That is a club that sends CDs to you either at your door or digitally downloaded every single month. It's your choice. And we're so excited about this club, and we're in the holiday spirit. So as an enticement to have you join, we want to give you the first month for $1, which is what you just mentioned. So what you do is you go to the promo box at checkout and you type in the words radio. That will be how to do it.
Yeah.
And if you do that, the first month is a dollar. So if you digitally download, it will simply be $1. If you choose the shipping and handling method so that it comes to your door, it will be $1 plus the $4.99 shipping and handling.
All right. So let me understand this. For $1, as long as I put radio $1. Code, if I put just radio in the promo code on checkout, I can get for $1 plus the shipping and handling, 5 CDs.
10 classic
shows
radio shows
in a collector box
with liner notes
$1. Now if I want to get them and plus the shipping and handling, and if I want to get it digitally sent to me, I only pay $1.
Exactly.
But I have to put radio in the promo code. Here's what's going to happen, folks. If you sign up and you don't put radio in the promo code, it will charge you the regular price. So the only way you can get that dollar promotion is by typing in radio in the promo code.
So this is for the first 50 people. We kind of had a little debacle last night, but we're on it now. 50 people, don't wait. Sign up now. Check it out. Go to classicradioclub.com. If you have any questions, feel free to, send a message or post on Facebook, or you can text in on the text in line. But I think it'll be really clear. There's a promo box at checkout and you type in radio.
Absolutely.
Check it out.
Absolutely. Thanks, Lisa.
Back to WGN Radio Theater with Earl Amari and Lisa Wolf.
Thanks, Vic. Welcome back, everybody. 11:38 here on a Sunday evening. We are listening to Gunsmoke. After Gunsmoke, in our next hour, we will tune into The Adventures of Nero Wolf, starring Sidney Greenstreet, a good detective adventure called The Case of the Deadly Sellout. That's in our next hour. We will also play Cat's Pride, our game Real or Ridiculous, in the next hour. Hopefully the phones will be working again. I don't know if they are or not. And
yeah.
If it, yes.
Oh, we got a thumbs up.
Oh, yeah.
So
all right.
We'll
very
be waiting
good.
For our caller.
Very, very good. But right now, it's the conclusion to the lynching on Gunsmoke.
Coming out of the sun.
Well, thank you, Miss Stewart.
Got a pot of coffee in the stove, Marshal.
Oh, thank you, ma'am, but I'd like to find Rice first.
Anything wrong, Marshal?
No, I'd just like to talk to him.
Rice come home real late last night, and he was awful drunk. First time in years.
If you'll forgive me, Miss Stewart, I'd better find him.
All right. Guess I'd rather Rice told me about it himself. Must be something up. Cam Powell was by earlier. Hasn't been around in months.
What'd you say Rice was, ma'am?
Hasn't strayed far from the house today. Keeps coming in for coffee.
Uh-huh.
Think he's drunk a gallon already.
Well, I'll be back for some myself in a little while.
Sure, Martha.
Rice, you in here?
I'm here. Who is it?
Matt Dillon.
Oh.
Hello, Marshal.
Hello, Rice. Can I take a little of your time?
I'd ask you up to the house, Marshal, but I think I'd rather talk here.
Miss Stewart already asked me in. She hasn't heard about what happened in Dodge last night, has she, Rice?
No, Marshal, she hasn't.
How come you didn't mention it to her?
When I tell my wife, it's my business, Marshal.
Yeah, sure. But you know, she's bound to hear about it later. Maybe she'll wonder why you didn't tell her right off.
That's still my business.
She said Cam Powell was here this morning.
Anything wrong in that?
You don't feel very good today, do you, Rice?
I got drunk yesterday. Last night I got drunker.
Is that what's bothering you?
Well, I'm not as young as I used to be, that's all.
You're a poor liar, Rice. I figured you would be.
Yeah, I suppose I am.
Look, Rice, I've known you for 4 years, and I've never heard a bad word against you. But yesterday you were a little drunk and got mixed up in something you're ashamed of now. Cam Powell's threatened you if you talk about it. Isn't that right?
That's right, Marshal.
Well, have you decided what you're going to do about it?
I don't know, Marshal. I just don't know.
Well, then maybe I'm wrong about you. Maybe you know better than Cam and the rest of them.
But it's done with now, Marshal. Why can't we just forget about
it? We just can't forget a lynching, Rice. That'd make it too easy for the next one to happen.
I'll kill the man that starts another
one. And why are you going to let Cam get by with this one?
Well, by heaven, I'm not. I should have stopped it then. I don't know what was wrong with me, but I'll face up to it now. What do you want to know, Marshal?
Where were you when Job got shot?
At the Longhorn. About six of us were having supper. Job went down the street for some cigars, and then we heard a shot out back, and we run through the kitchen and found the cook outside holding Billy Saxton.
Mm-hmm.
He'd shot Job when he passed the street end of the alley.
The cook see it?
Well, she said he did.
Then what happened?
And Cam went crazy when he found Job was dead. I don't know, Marshal, but before I knew it, we'd slipped out of town with that boy. Cam hung him on that little tree about a half mile down the road.
Yeah, I know. I cut him down.
And that cook, Hank something or other. I remember he grabbed Saxon's gun when we run out back. I can't get it off my mind. Nobody ever even looked at the boy's gun to see if it had been fired. Cam just hung him on the cook's word for it.
Mm-hmm. All right, Rice. Thank you. Will you be a witness if I need you?
I'll see you through now, Marshal. All the way. Oh, I feel better already.
All right. Let's go get some of your wife's coffee, Rice. Then I got to get back to Dodge.
Good coffee, Marshal.
Chester? Chester? Chester, where are you?
I'm out back, Mr. Dillon. I'll be right in.
That you've got all over you?
Paint, Mr. Dillon. White paint.
Paint? Well, where'd you get it? Now, what are you up to now, Chester?
I sent St. Louis for it, sir. I thought it'd be a good idea to make the hitching rail out back all white.
Well, what for?
Well, sir, we might be in an awful big hurry some night, and that...
Chester. All right. Look, I want you to go get cleaned up. I want you to have supper at the Longhorn tonight.
Well, I sure do thank you, Mr. Dillon.
No, Chester. I want you to go there alone.
Oh. Yes, sir?
It's for a reason. Do you know the cook over there, Hank something or other?
That's Hank Ashford.
He's not a very good cook, Mr. Dillon.
How long's he been around?
Oh, about a week. I don't think he likes cooking much. He don't seem to be very willing either.
Well, it doesn't matter. I doubt if he'll be around for long.
Why not, sir?
I'm guessing that he'll be wanting to get out of Dodge fast after you let it drop real casual-like, mind, that I've ridden out to arrest Cam Powell.
Is that so? You gonna bring Cam in tonight, Mr. Dillon?
No, no. You're just gonna make Hank Ashford think I am. And don't let anyone else hear about it, though.
Oh. I've got it, sir.
You happen to know where Hank rooms?
The Dodge House, Mr. Dillon.
That's pretty fancy for a cook, isn't it?
Yes, sir.
All right, you go to supper about 6 o'clock. And I'm gambling that Hank Ashford will be packing his things at the Dodge House by 7.
All right, Mr. Dillon.
Evening, John.
Hope you're not looking for a room. We're all filled up. Texans, mostly.
Well, that's fine. What room's Hank Ashford got?
310, Marshal. Top of the stairs, straight down the hall.
Uh-huh.
Hey, he been up to anything? Looked to be in a mite of a hurry when he come in.
He's here now?
Went upstairs just a couple of minutes ago.
Yeah.
Something up, Marshal?
Leave that gun laid where it is, mister. Here, I'll just put it in my belt. Less likely to get you in trouble that way.
You're the marshal, ain't you?
You leaving town, Hank?
Yeah, I am.
Why?
I'm tired of cooking, that's why.
You got Billy Saxton's gun up here, Hank?
What?
Or shall I tear your stuff apart and find it myself?
No, no, it's in that drawer there.
Yeah.
But I wasn't at that lynching, Marshal. I can prove I wasn't.
Yeah, I'm sure you weren't. Shells are here. And the barrel's clean. I thought this gun killed Joe Powell.
It did. I cleaned it, that's all.
Hey, you're pretty neat, Hank, for a hash house cook. Yeah, catch this.
Now what?
And you handle that gun pretty well, too, for a cook. Look at the way you're holding it now.
I don't want that gun. What are you trying to prove, Marshal?
You're a gunfighter, not a cook, Hank.
All right, Marshal. I used to handle a gun, but I'm looking for the peaceful life now. Any law against a man changing?
No. But you're under arrest anyway.
What for?
I'll think of something. Let's go.
Wouldn't eat any breakfast, Mr. Dillon.
Yeah, that's too bad.
He says he won't be here long anyway. They all say that, don't they?
Yeah, he may be right. I see Cam Powell coming across the street for him right now.
You going to let him go, Mr. Dillon?
Well, we'll see.
All right, Marshal. What's the bail on Hank Ashford?
There's no bail at all, Cam.
What do you mean, no bail? You can't hold a man like this.
I'm not holding him.
You mean he can leave?
Any time.
And what'd you arrest him for in the first place?
Oh, let's say, suspicion.
Suspicion of what?
Well, drunkenness.
He wasn't drunk.
No, but he might have got drunk.
You're pretty high-handed with that badge, aren't you, Dillon?
You tell me, Cam. You ought to know about being high-handed.
We're wasting time. Turn him loose. I want to get out of here.
I'll get him, Mr. Dillon.
Hank's a right-handy man to have around, huh, Ken?
What does that mean?
Well, he can cook. Probably turn his hand to most anything. Sort of a jack-of-all-trades, isn't he?
I wouldn't know, Marshal.
Thanks for bailing me out, Cam.
I didn't have to bail you out. You're free.
Is that right, Marshal?
That's right, Hank. So go on, enjoy yourself.
I sure will. Then I'll start by having a drink. Come on, Cam, let's see if the Alfraganza's open.
Dillon?
Yeah.
You think Hank shot Joe Powell, don't you?
Well, that'd be my guess, Chester.
Then why'd you let him go?
No evidence. They lynched the only witness. But I've made him a little nervous now. He'll get real jumpy with the help of some liquor.
Well, what good'll that do, sir?
They just might hang themselves with a prod or two from me.
Yeah.
Are you still here, gentlemen? May I buy you a drink?
What are you doing here, Marshal?
Why do you want to buy us a drink? Yeah. Huh, bartender?
Give me that bottle there, will you?
Kim, I don't like this. Let's get out of here.
Wait a minute, Hank. I'm too big a man in Dodge to get pushed around by any marshal.
I just want you to have one drink before you leave, gentlemen.
Yeah. Just one.
For you, Cam. And for you...
Thanks.
Yeah. Well, gentlemen, here's to, may he rest in peace, Billy Saxton.
You looking for trouble, Marshal?
You're the one who's got trouble, Hank.
What do you mean? You turned me loose yourself.
Yeah, I know. But what about Cam here?
What?
You think Cam's going to let you go after everything you've told me?
What'd you tell him, Hank?
Nothing. He's lying. I told him nothing.
Then what are you talking about, Marshal?
Just that I've got about all the evidence I need, Cam. Won't you ask Hank? He can tell you. Go on.
Hank, if you cross me, I'll see you die for it.
You believe him, do you? Well, go ahead. You didn't have the guts to shoot your brother yourself.
Shut up.
Who are you going to hire to shoot me?
Shut up, blast you.
Shut me up. Shut me up, man.
Use your head. You got us in enough trouble already.
I have. If you'd let me shoot that boy when he stumbled on me, we'd have been all right.
Stop it.
You may be rich, Cam, but you sure ain't smart.
I'm going to kill you.
Well, draw on me and I'll have two pals tomorrow.
All right, hold it, both of you. We've heard enough.
Well, there you are, Hank. Marshall's heard all he needs. You're done for now.
Yeah? Well, I shot a marshal in Trinidad once. Don't see why I can't shoot one in Dodge.
Don't try it, Hank.
Why not, Marshal?
Good riddance.
You're under arrest, Cam.
Hank shot Job Marshall's. You heard him say so.
I heard him. But I'm still interested in who murdered Billy Saxton.
And you're right back where you started, Marshal. Seems nobody knows about that lynching.
I know about it.
Rice Stewart.
I'm not proud of it, but I was there. I witnessed the whole thing.
I'll take your gun now, Cam.
Guess you win, Marshal.
Nobody wins this time, Cam. Now, maybe the next time anybody gets an idea about lynching a man around here, they'll think twice. Now, you lead the way.
Gunsmoke, under the direction of Norman McDonald, stars William Conrad as Matt Dillon, U.S. Marshal. Tonight's story was especially written for Gunsmoke by John Meston, with music composed and conducted by Rex Corey. Featured in tonight's cast were Paul Dubov, John Daner, and Tom Tully, with Joan Danton, Ralph Moody, and Lee Millar. Parley Bear is Chester, and Georgia Ellis is Kitty. Join us again next week as Matt Dillon, U.S. Marshal, fights to bring law and order out of the wild violence of the West in Gunsmoke.
That's Gunsmoke from a broadcast date of August 16th, 1952, with The Lynching starring William Conrad as heard on CBS. I wish I had that app, Babbel.com.
No, you babble all day long.
I would be able to learn other languages.
Oh, I think that might take some time.
The only language I know is English and the language of love.
Oh, really?
The international language of love.
What is it?
I don't know.
Oh, I didn't think so.
But, you know, I cannot learn other languages.
As an
I barely
adult,
know
it's
English.
Really difficult.
Yeah, is it?
Oh, I'm pretty
well, I'm
weird.
A child still.
I know that.
So I should be able to learn it.
I know that.
Do you speak any other languages? I know you play the piano beautifully, but do you have any other, do you have language talents?
I don't have
no?
language talents.
You can't speak any other language?
No, I took Spanish in college and
mm-hmm.
that was that.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know.
You know what I know in Spanish?
Uh-oh.
Cisco Pancho. It's the Cisco Kid. That's all I know.
Yeah, that could be offensive
only...
by some.
No, why would it be offensive? We play the Cisco Kid.
I'm just kidding.
Oh, my gosh. You're funny.
Oh, my gosh.
All right. Well, we have your great uncle, the detective Nero Wolfe. Only he spells it with an E at the end of his name.
Yep.
In our next hour, The Adventures of Nero Wolfe. And then your daughter, Jillian, is here, along with her pal, Allie Reisman. And they're going to play the game, Cat's Pride, Real or Ridiculous, along with a caller in our next hour, right?
Right. And the caller's going to win the pizza. They'll have to pay for it themselves. Or I will have to buy it. One or the other.
All right. Well, stick around because that's coming up next.
Back to WGN Radio Theater with Earl Amari and Lisa Wolf.
Thank you, Vic Vaughn. It is 12:07 on a Monday morning. Happy Monday, Lisa.
Good morning.
Yeah. And so in this hour, we're going to play The Adventures of Nero Wolfe, a good detective adventure with Sidney Greenstreet starring as Nero Wolfe. And before we do that, we're going to play our game, Cat's Pride.
Real or Ridiculous.
Real or Ridiculous, yeah.
And the celebrity for this hour is mm-hmm. Harrison Ford.
Harrison
Ford.
I know
we all know him.
Yeah, great.
And we'll be giving away a Lumalati's gift certificate.
All right. Say hi, Jillian and Allie. Can you get closer to Mike and say hi?
Hi.
Hello.
These are our youngest players.
Yeah.
We haven't had any players this age yet, so this is a whole new realm for us here.
They didn't even know who Harrison Ford was when you said Harrison Ford.
I said they did know him, so we're going to go with that.
Did they know him?
They do now.
Okay, they do now. All right. So call us now, 312-981-7200. 312-981-7200. Win a Lou Malnati's pizza
but
and play the game.
But you need to be caller 5.
Caller 5. Call now. We'll be right back.
Come on, baby. Let's get ridiculous.
That is our Real or Ridiculous theme song, so it must be time to play the game. We have Tom on the phone. Hey, Tom.
Hi, how are you?
I'm great. How are you?
All right, thank you.
Good. We're glad you made it through. And
hi, Tom.
Hi.
And we're going to play a little Harrison Ford, Real or Ridiculous. And we've got two girls here who are going to play with us, so we're going to see how this goes. Harrison Ford, are you ready?
Yes.
All right. First, Harrison Ford, before becoming an actor, he was a carpenter. Is that real or ridiculous?
I would say real.
Real? Jillian?
Real.
Allie?
Real.
Carl?
It's absolutely real. He was a carpenter just like Jesus.
That is real. He was a carpenter, so you are all correct. Oh, yeah. All right. All good. Number two. Kevin Costner was originally set to appear in Air Force One. Harrison Ford replaced him. Tom, is that real or ridiculous?
Oh, boy.
I would say ridiculous.
Jillian?
Real.
Real.
I'm going to go with Tom and say it's ridiculous.
Well, Jillian and Allie know what they're talking about. That is absolutely real.
All right, here's for the girls. And here's for Tom and me.
Tom, the clue is if Carl says it, it's probably not
Don't
right.
Follow Don't me, follow me.
That's
do.
Why we'll do him last.
I stink
All right.
At this game.
And we know. Number three, he was ranked by Fortune magazine as one of the most powerful men.
Yeah, but he's not a very good airplane pilot. I'll
well,
tell you
that's
that.
For sure.
It's true.
What do you think, Tom?
I think ridiculous.
Ridiculous?
Ooh.
Ridiculous.
So powerful men
ridiculous.
By who? Who?
By he was ranked by Fortune magazine as one of the most powerful men. That was 1998.
Nah.
Okay,
nah.
So Tom says ridiculous?
Nah. Yeah. Yeah, we all say ridiculous.
Ridiculous. Ridiculous.
Ridiculous. Yeah.
It is ridiculous, but I will tell you what he was ranked.
Uh-huh.
You want to guess?
No.
You don't want
sexiest
to?
Sexiest man.
That's right. You got it. He was sexiest man alive. So you
was
did
that the same year that I was, or 1 year after me, or the same year, or what?
Yeah, I think it was the same year.
Tom,
he was on the cover,
Tom,
and you
Tom
were
Tom
just
seems
in...
to know. Tom, was I in 94, 95? Do you remember?
I don't know, but I went to work with a guy who graduated high school.
With Harrison, Harrison Ford?
Oh, yeah?
Yeah. Yeah.
Well,
wow.
World.
You know,
it is. And you know what, Carl? Maybe one of these days you will be sexiest man alive as well. You still, your time may be yet to come.
Yeah, I went to high school. I also went to college. And when I went to college, I took up, I tried to be an astronaut.
You messed it up
already. My own joke. Tom, I messed my own joke up.
All right, we're going to stop
when
you
I
right
was in
there.
College,
oh,
I
no.
studied to be an astronaut. I took up space.
Well, you messed it up, so it didn't work.
Oh, God, it wasn't even funny.
Otherwise,
totally
it would have been so funny.
That whole thing.
Tom, you are a winner. You have won a Lou Malnati's gift certificate. Lou Malnati's is home of Chicago's best deep dish pizza and my very favorite. You can find one of their 40-plus Chicagoland locations or order online at loumalnati's.com. Thanks a lot for playing.
Way
you were a good
go,
sport.
Way to go, Tom.
Thank you very
Thank
much.
You.
Take care.
Jillian Wolf and Allie Reisman, they got more right than I did
on
this game.
Yeah, well, that's not...
And then I messed up my joke, too.
Yeah, you
Gosh.
Did.
What, have I been drinking some potent potables over here?
I don't even want
Maybe I'm drinking
know.
Your Roma wines or
I
something.
I don't ask, and I don't need to know.
All right. Well, that was fun. Okay, it's time for Nero Wolf. Sydney Greenstreet starred as Rex Stout's gargantuan gourmet detective. This came to radio in 1943. Now, Nero Wolf solved crimes with an attention to detail, Lisa, that rivaled the great Sherlock Holmes, and Wolf refused to leave his elegant brownstone on business. He wouldn't go out. He just stayed in, and he made Archie Goodwin his man assistant to do the legwork, and then he would solve the crime from his apartment. That sounds like a good gig.
You like to stay
never
home.
Leave.
You don't
never
usually
leave.
Leave.
I come here to do the radio
That's
show.
That's about it. You go right. home and there you go.
That's right. Just send checks to my house.
That's right.
That's what they did with Nero Wolf. All right. Well, we have a broadcast for you now from January 5th, 1951. It's called The Case of the Deadly Sellout, and it stars Sydney Greenstreet as your grand uncle, Nero Wolf.
Ladies and gentlemen, the ringing of that phone bell means mystery, adventure.
Nero Wolf's office, Archie Goodwin speaking. You're a... And you've lost your... Oh.
Archie, the answer is no.
Hold on a second. The answer to what is no, Mr. Wolf?
I cannot attempt to find a blonde for anyone.
You've got the man on the phone a little wrong, Mr. Wolf. He's not looking for a blonde, he's looking for a prize fighter.
Indeed, have him come here.
Okay. Mr. Wolf will see you at 8. So long. I was all set to argue with you about taking the case. You gave in too fast.
Nonsense. I'm fascinated by the thought of anyone misplacing a prize fighter. They're usually quite large, aren't they?
They are. But what this guy is worried about is not only finding his boy, but finding him alive.
Gentlemen, it's the bulkiest, balkiest, smartest, and most unpredictable detective in the world. That chair-born genius, Nero Wolf, created by Rex Stout and brought to you in a new series of adventures over this NBC network in the person of Mr. Sydney Greenstreet.
Case of the Deadly Sellout. That's what my boss, Nero Wolf, called it. And it almost meant curtains for the firm of Wolf and Goodwin. But let me give it to you straight right from the beginning. Although you ought to know that it wasn't until it was all over that I knew the very beginning of it myself. It all started in the New York flat of one Brock Rainey.
Yes?
My name is Jerry Fay.
I'm supposed to know you?
Being a very good friend of Paper Gatto's, it's time you got to know me. May I come in?
Sure. You've got a problem, Miss Fay?
Debbie took a fall at the garden last night against a coffee and bum named Eubanks, right?
As far as I know, Sister Gatto met his match.
Please, Mr. Rainey, do me a favor. Skip the sausage meat. It happens I saw the $1,200 you counted out to him to take a quick dive in the first.
You did.
How else would I know?
Okay, then here's my wrist. Slap it, Miss Fay. I'm a bad boy.
Now, look, who's kidding who? I don't care if Pepe makes himself a few deals on the side. I should worry whether he gives those meat eaters on the benches a run for their ducats. What's it to me?
If you're not worried, Sugar Plum, then neither am I. Also, I'm a very busy man.
Not too busy to pay off, I hope.
Pay off? To who?
To me.
For what?
For keeping it to myself that you collected $5,000 from the Eubanks crowd for getting Pepe to take that dive. Certain people might not like to hear it.
Miss Fay.
Yeah?
Drop dead.
I don't think we understand each other.
Which is just as well. Now get out of here.
There's something...
Blow, bimbo.
Okay, Mr. Rainey. Have it your way. I'll go find someone with a more sympathetic ear. Someone like Lawson. Arnold F. Lawson. So long.
Wait. Where does Lawson come into this?
You asking is stalling. Lawson dropped a sizable piece of change on last night's two-step.
No. Close the door, Jerry.
Oh, yeah. $25,000, to be exact. That's a lot of corn to lose because a cheap fight manager arranges a frame. At least Arnold Lawson might think so.
Sit down.
Who's tired? Look, Mr. Rainey, it goes very simply in only one way. Lawson as yet knows from nothing except that your boy Gatto lost the fight. He may suspect, but he don't know. And he really don't have to know.
Glad to hear you say that.
And I'll be glad to see the shade of 3,000 long green banknotes.
How much?
You heard me, $3,000.
Get out.
Okay, I'm going. To the next phone and call Lawson.
Look, Jerry, give me time, huh? I haven't got that kind of dough right now.
Tell it to Lawson. When he gets through with you, you won't need any kind of dough.
You know, I've got Gatto set for a go with Mellish, the title contender. Gatto can take him. Please believe me, he's going to take him.
So?
So after what happened in the Eubanks fight, the odds on Gatto will be like a war debt. We can clean up.
Listen,
we can make
Heel,
a...
I wouldn't trust you from 11:59 to midnight. Get it up. Now. I'll give you 6 hours. After that, Lawson. So long.
Come on, come on.
Hello?
Hello, Rainey, this is Gatto.
Hiya, Pepe.
Look, the boys dropped in on me at the office at Mindy's. Lawson wants to see me.
Lawson?
Look, bum, I'm the one with the cauliflower ears. You heard me, and what do I do?
Nothing.
But...
Don't come near him. Stay home. Let me take care of it.
How? What do you do?
I don't know yet, Pepe, but I'll find a way.
How did he find out?
Your girlfriend.
What? She wouldn't do that. She hates the guy.
Hate him or love him, she told him.
I can't believe it.
I suggest you call our little doll Jerry and give her your regards for the double cross. Meanwhile, stay put in your apartment. Don't move.
But Rainey... Hello.
What on earth are you mumbling about?
The high cost of blunt.
Indeed.
Oh, you can say that again.
I have no intention of doing so.
Okay, be smug. But there must have been a time even in your life when knickknacks from Tiffany figured on the budget.
Phooey.
Not to mention steak dinners and champagne. Or what did you feed your girls? Peppermint lozenges?
Nonsense. They preferred lime.
Oh, I'm dying, and he laughs. Mr. Wolf?
Yes?
I have decided that you are giving me a raise.
Archie, this is not a period in which unilateral decisions are wise.
So I'll be a dope and get a raise, huh?
As for your future mental attainments, you may be right. As for raise...
You want to drive me to gambling? Like betting on fights or going... Okay, it's the doorbell, and I'm answering it.
The name's Rainey. You're Goodwin?
I'm Goodwin. Come in.
Is Wolf in?
Mr. Wolf is always in, unlike prize fighters, I guess. Come on.
Thank you.
Mr. Wolf, this is Mr. Rainey, the man who lost his prize fighter.
How do you do, sir?
I'm not doing so good. Mr. Wolf, you got to help me.
That will depend.
On what?
The fee. I digress. Your problem is what, Mr. Rainey?
Mr. Wolf, I manage a fighter named Gatto. Maybe you've heard of him.
I have not. However, that is of little significance. You are having difficulty with this Mr. Gatto?
I'm not having difficulty with him. I can't find him. Maybe you better let me give you the whole picture, huh?
Very well.
Well, Gatto is an up-and-coming boy, Mr. Wolf. He had a little upset last week with a guy named Eubanks. But everybody knows, in spite of that, Gatto's heading for the big time. I think he'll prove that when he goes against Mellish.
Mr. Mellish being another pugilist, huh?
That's right, Mr. Wolf. Now, Pepe, that's Gatto. Pepe was due at the turf club this afternoon to meet the opposition management and go over the setup. He was due, but he didn't show. I waited all afternoon, and then I started the phone calls and taxis.
The results?
No results. I combed every joint I ever knew him to buy a beer in, and the score was zero. Matter of fact, nobody's even seen him for 4 days.
You would have tried the gymnasiums, naturally?
I did.
Does this pugilist have a home?
Yeah, 206 A Rathburn Street, a penthouse on the roof.
He was not at home during all this time?
It's where I tried first. It was empty as a bank on Saturday afternoon.
I see. And you want me to find him for you?
If Pepe blows this fight, Mr. Wolf, it'll ruin his career.
And the preservation of his career is worth a good deal to you?
I got a check for $2,000 right here.
Archie?
I'll get it. $2,000.
Very well, Mr. Rainey. I should take immediate steps.
I got a cab waiting outside. We can get started right away.
We? I should remain here.
But how do you expect to...
Archie?
Yes, Mr. Wolf?
You will leave him, Mr. Rainey. I need information. You might try the Rathburn Street penthouse to start with.
But I've already been there.
Lord, your apologies, Mr. Rainey. Suppose you restrict your activities to pugilists. Archie is a trained observer. You are not. Archie, you will pick up whatever you can in Gatto's apartment. I especially suggest a careful check on his wardrobe.
Wardrobe?
If his clothes are missing, Mr. Rainey, it would indicate that he left voluntarily and deliberately, for whatever reasons he may have had. If they are not, Archie, you will phone me from the apartment after your investigation is over.
Okay.
I shall, in the meantime, devote some thought to the subject.
Huh? For $2,000, all you're going to do is devote some thought?
Mr. Rainey, if I were not a modest man, I would point out to you that you're getting quite a... a bargain.
Gatto? Gatto?
He's not here, I told you that. I was up here before.
He left the door unlocked?
I had a key. Guess I forgot to lock up after I left.
Well, let's look around. Bathroom?
Yeah.
Empty. It's a nice penthouse. Is that a closet?
Yeah. What do you think? He's playing hide and seek?
Try it.
Okay.
Anything in there?
Nothing I'm looking for.
What's that you found?
A hat.
Well, let's see.
Lady's hat.
Yeah, smart and expensive. Label reads a Madame Yetta original. That bunch of lace and feathers cost somebody a fast $50,000.
Yeah, probably one of his girls left it behind.
And maybe she'll call for it. Come on, we'll take a gander out on the roof.
I took a gander out there. It's bare as a bone.
Uh-uh. What have we got over there by the chimney?
Where?
Over there.
Just an old awning. Got blown down in the storm last month.
Be right with you.
What are you doing?
Looking under it. Oh, brother.
You found him.
Yeah, we found him, chum. A little late. Two holes in his dorsal development and dead as a clay pigeon.
Yeah.
Well, what have you got to say?
Well, now at least the bookies will cancel all bets. We both save our dough.
Yeah. I got to phone Mr. Wolf. And there he was, Mr. Wolf. Under the old canvas awning.
Where's the hat? Oh, this is it.
That's it, boss. Snazzy number, no?
Where'd you find it?
On the floor of the closet.
You're right, Archie. Frothy little bit of millinery caprice. Have you any idea whose it may be, Mr. Rainey?
I wish I did.
You have to find out.
Well, how, boss?
The hat is an original. See, the label under the band reads Madame Yetta Original. Tomorrow morning, Archie, you will interview Madame Yetta.
Yes, boss.
And discover in your inimitable fashion for whom she made this chapeau. Hello?
Archie again, Mr. Wolf. Per your instructions, I have just talked to Madame Yetta.
What did you learn?
Madame Yetta tells me she made that hat for a Mrs. Larson.
Who is Mrs. Larson?
Wife of an ex-beer hustler who's in the chips and puts on airs. Lives in a penthouse of the Bradford Arms. I was just about to hop a cab and go up there, boss.
Good. Keep this up, Archie. And through sheer practice, you may yet develop a full-blown intelligence.
Well, I'm trying, Mr. Wolf. And after the Larsons, I do what?
Return here immediately and hurry.
All right, that's the first portion of The Adventures of Nero Wolfe, January 5th, 1951, with the case of the deadly sellout starring Sidney Greenstreet. We'll get back to it in just a few moments.
Back to WGN Radio Theater with Earl Amari and Lisa Wolfe.
Thanks, Vic. Well, I checked, and we don't have 50 people signed up yet, so there is still time. Lisa, you want to go over that promotion one more time?
I would love to.
Because we only have another half hour on the air.
I don't know why 50 people aren't signed up yet.
Yeah, no, we still have some people that can get in on the $1 for the first month.
All right, so what we're talking about is the Classic Radio Club, and you can check it out at classicradioclub.com. This is how you can get the best of the best classic radio sent by love. With love, by Carl Amari.
Yeah.
We can send it either to your door or digitally downloaded. And here's the promotion. If you sign up now and you're one of the first 50 people, the first month will cost exactly $1. Now, that is a bargain. You can't beat it. How do you get the $1 promotion? Go to Classic Radio Club and put the word radio in the promo box at checkout.
Yeah.
If you choose to digitally download, the whole month will cost you $1. If you choose to have it delivered to your door, it will cost you $1 plus a $4.99 shipping and handling charge. But in either case, what a deal. You get 10 classic radio shows on 5 CDs, and you get the liner notes, you get the collector case, and then you become part of our club, which is a very special place to be.
Yeah, and you know what, too, folks? When you sign up for only a dollar the first month using the promo code radio, and let's say you get the first month and you don't love it. Let's say for whatever reason you don't want to be part of the club anymore. All you do is just let us know, just email us, or you can call our operators and just cancel. And then we won't send you any more and we won't bill your credit card. But at least you can try it for 1 month for only a dollar. Now, with the 5 CDs, when it's shipped to you, as Lisa said, you do have to pay the $4.99 shipping and handling. But you do get the 5 CDs for only a dollar. And then if you choose the digital option, there is no shipping and handling. It gets emailed to you. But
I think
make
I
sure.
said exactly that.
Yeah,
I
but
think
make
you repeated
sure.
everything I just
I know,
said.
But I said it with a deeper voice.
Not much.
And so make sure you use the promo code radio at checkout.
So we hope you'll join the club. Check it out, classicradioclub.com.
And you know what? If you don't use the promo code, it will charge you regular price.
I know.
So use the promo code.
Okay.
All right, let's get back now to the adventures of Nero Wolfe.
How do you do, Mr. Larson? Oh, Mr. Goodwin. My secretary tells me you're a detective.
My boss might argue with you on that, Mr. Larson.
Your boss?
It happens I work for Nero Wolfe.
I see. And you wish to see me about...
About this hat.
Hat? Oh, I see, yeah. Well, Mr. Goodwin, please believe me, I never wear hats like that.
Would your wife be likely to say the same?
My wife? Just what are you getting at?
Would I seem too nosy if I asked how well you and your wife know Pepe Gatto?
How well do we know who?
Pepe Gatto.
The pug?
No, not such a pug.
No, huh? I lost 25,000 on him in the Eubanks fight. He asked me, he laid down like a dog.
And did you talk it over with him?
Talk it over with him? Never seen the man in my life.
Not even at the fight?
No, I placed the bet over the telephone. I'd scarcely have anything to do with a character like Gatto, Mr. Goodwin.
You surely won't from here on out, Mr. Larson.
What do you mean?
Gatto is dead.
You don't say.
He was murdered last night.
Murdered?
And what would you say, Mr. Larson, If I told you that this hat is your wife's and that it was found in a closet in Gatto's apartment.
Now, wait a minute. Let me get this straight. Are you implying...
Not implying. Facts are sticking out.
What time was this dumb brute done away with?
Oh, I'd set it at somewhere between 5 and 7 p.m. last night.
Now, you said it very conveniently. Thanks.
Why?
My wife and I drove out of the city at 4:30 yesterday afternoon. Didn't get back until 2 this morning.
And this hat? It took wings and flew into Gatto's closet? Is that the answer?
No, that's not the answer.
Then what is?
This is. A month and a half ago, I was with Celia on a bus stop. She was wearing that hat, and the wind blew it off her head.
I see. And from there, we figure that somebody picked it up, and it finally wound up at Gatto's.
You can figure anything you please. Personally, I don't feel in any way obligated to figure anything.
Darling, I was just on my way out, and... Oh, I'm sorry. I didn't realize you were busy.
Yes, I am busy, Celia.
Wait a minute. He's not all
right. Run along now, dear. You'll be late.
But I want to talk
to you. Run along, Celia.
Yes, darling. Sorry. I'll see you later.
Beautiful. Really beautiful.
I've always thought so, Goodwin.
You, didn't give me much of a chance to talk to her, did you, Larson?
If I didn't, it's for your own good.
My good? I don't get it.
Celia's a sensitive person, and I won't have her bothered.
And do you mean to tell me you let him scare you?
Let him scare me? Say, will you stop being so fearless with my life? The guy said don't bother my wife, so I didn't bother his wife. It was that simple.
Apparently his wife is not blonde. Answer the phone, Archie.
No, you answer it. Now you've hurt my feelings.
Oh, well. Hello?
I want to speak to Mr. Nero Wolf.
Mr. Wolf speaking.
Oh? Is it true that you're interested in the Gatto murder?
Who are you and how do you know he's been murdered?
The second question is none of your business. And as for the first, call me Jerry. J-E-R-I.
How do you do, Jerry? J-E-R-I. Where do you call?
Would you like to come to an auction?
An auction?
You know, going, gone, to the highest bidder.
And what are you placing on the auction block, Miss Jerry?
A few facts. All in good condition and guaranteed to make it a cinch to snag the Gatto killer.
Sounds promising.
Only you'll have to bid against real money.
May I have the address of the auction room?
You'll have no trouble finding it. Your assistant was there last night.
Where?
The penthouse on top of 206A Rathburn Street. The big item goes on at 4 bells.
Yeah? Who is it?
Man named Wolf sent me.
Just a sec.
You're Jerry, huh?
I was expecting the man named Wolf.
Unfortunately for me, honey, when he's expected, I usually show up.
Come on in.
You? See, I'm the legs of the combination. He's the brains. It makes a nice division of labor.
I see. You came in plenty of time.
On the nose is our custom. Where are the rest of the bidders?
Any second now.
How many besides me are coming?
One.
Small auction.
But big action.
How'd you happen to decide on this?
I knew Gatto pretty good.
And you were fond of him pretty good, huh?
How did you guess?
Well, you've got a key to this place of his, or you couldn't let yourself in. It adds, no?
Gee, you should have been a detective.
Just what I keep telling Mr. Wolf. Look, tell me, Jerry, darling, this other person who's coming to the auction, who?
The killer.
You don't say. You sure the killer isn't here already?
Look, I didn't kill him.
The story you would like me to believe is that you witnessed the killing, huh? Called the killer and Mr. Wolf and said, come on, kids, you can get me either to talk or shut up, depending on who pays the most, isn't it?
Something like that.
Okay, prove you know what you're talking about. Who is the killer? Is it Block Rainey?
Should also have your head examined, pretty boy. I talk for dough and only for dough. Not that I'm mercenary or anything,
but... Okay, tell me this. How come you saw the killer in the act?
Simple. I was here with Gatto. Called me to come see him. While I was here, the shot came through the window there from the roof.
You know something, sweetheart?
What?
I can't understand how a girl like you, a pretty nice girl under all that paint and powder and Broadway shellac, how you could do a thing like this. You were in love with Gatto, I know that, everybody does. And still you're willing to keep your mouth shut if the killer pays enough. How come? What's the matter, honey? Did I hit a tender spot?
I don't think you understand.
Sure, I was in love with the goof. Then along comes this other dame. She's rich and beautiful, and she has everything to give him.
Ooh, do I know her?
Of course you do. She...
Oh! Jerry! Jerry.
She was just about to tell me, and then the shot came through the window from the roof, boss. It's a flat roof outside.
You didn't, I suppose, see the murderer?
No. I caught Jerry in my arms. By the time I laid her down on the couch and got out on the roof, the killer was gone.
Get right over here and bring our client with you, if you can find him.
Rainey?
That's right. He has a right to be in on the kill.
Okay, boss. But keep away from that beer till I get there.
Don't be impertinent. I should be busy phoning Mr. and Mrs. Lawson. Meanwhile, I want them here, too. Besides, one bottle won't do any harm. There they are. Let them in, Archie. You remain seated, Mr. Rainey.
Okay, Mr. Wolf.
Well, come in, Mr. Lawson. Come in.
Mr. Wolf here?
He's here. Nice of you to come.
Anything to help the law.
Ah, Mr. Lawson. Your wife didn't come.
No, Mr. Wolf. She was out when you called. Sorry, I forgot to tell you. I left word with the butler, however.
Mr. Lawson, about 20 minutes ago, a girl named Jerry Fay was killed.
So?
She was killed in your neighborhood, in a flat formerly occupied by one Pepe Gatto.
Where would that be?
Maybe your wife knows where the flat would be.
How dare you, sir?
No histrionics, please. Where was your wife when the girl was killed? I'm advising you that if that is an alibi, now's the time to state it.
I wouldn't humiliate Celia by alibying for her.
Then the police will pick her up.
But she didn't kill this girl, Mr. Wolf.
You have reasons for that opinion?
The best of reasons.
I'd be grateful if you'd state them and let me be the judge of their excellence.
One should do. This one. Celia's out in the country visiting her mother.
No.
Does that settle it?
Possibly. What's her mother's telephone number?
Why,
Merely a routine check.
Well, can't you take my word?
I'll take her mother's number. Well, Mr. Lawson?
I'm sorry. I hoped you'd buy the story.
What do you mean?
Mother's been dead for 10 years.
I see.
Well, I don't. What's the idea?
It's known as marital devotion, Archie. I suppose you realize, Mr. Lawson, that in shielding your wife, you're aiding and abetting a murderer?
I haven't stopped to realize anything. When Goodwin brought me that hat, I didn't know what to say.
Oh, you pitched me a curve then, too.
Well, I suppose you might call it that, but...
And she didn't lose the chapeau off a bus top.
No, but you've got to understand. Celia's the dearest thing in life to me.
Yeah, so's a lady rattlesnake to its husband.
I suggest it is time for you to be objective in this matter, Mr. Lawson.
What do you want to know?
Tell us where she can be found.
I have no idea.
When is she expected to return home?
Never.
Oh?
You see, we had an argument. I doubt that I'll ever see her again.
Then we are quite on our own, Archie.
To do what?
To make a journey to Gatto's apartment.
Gatto's apartment?
She probably has a key to that popular abode.
But she wouldn't go there, boss.
On the contrary, I am of the opinion that that's just where she would go. Give me my hat.
Don't tell me you're going to stir yourself.
It's a most unpleasant necessity, Archie. But the lady in question is dangerous and not at all hesitant about indiscriminate gunplay. Get out the car, Archie. We'll make the journey to Rathbun Street penthouse with the hope that Celia Lawson will show up in time to mourn her lost love.
You want me to go along with you too, Mr. Wolf?
Yes, indeed, Mr. Rainey, I do. I trust this chair will hold me.
Should. Biggest chair in the house.
Mr. Wolf.
Yes, Mr. Rainey?
Mr. Wolf, am I to understand that the way you have it figured is that Mrs. Lawson killed Gatto, and then to keep the girl from pinning the crime on her, she killed her too?
What's the matter, Mr. Rainey? Don't you think the theory holds water?
Well, yes. I mean, of course it does.
Thank you. On the other hand, there is room for doubt.
I'm glad to hear you say that, Mr. Wolf. Would you mind explaining?
I'll explain, Mr. Lawson. Mr. Goodwin was in this room when Jerry Fay was killed. Right, Archie?
Right, boss.
He ran as quickly as he could out onto the roof, but your wife was nowhere in evidence.
What difference does that make?
Good deal, I'd say. Wouldn't you, Archie?
Yes, a detail like that would give a jury room for doubt.
Oh, don't be a fool.
How so, Rainey?
Well, I was about to agree with Rainey. I mean, on sheer logic.
I'm afraid I miss your point, Mr. Lawson.
Well, what if Goodwin didn't see her? That proves nothing. She fired the shots and then she ran down the fire escape.
What fire escape?
The one a few feet beyond the chimney.
Mr. Lawson.
Yes?
Who told you there was a fire escape there?
Why,
who did? You can't see it from here, Lawson.
Well, I just imagine there might be.
Sensationally accurate imagination, Mr. Lawson. Allow me to congratulate you.
I don't know what you have in mind.
You have in mind to see your wife convicted of the murder of Pepe Gatto. And so punish them both for having dared to fall in love.
I love Celia. I worship her.
Yes, that's what you expected me to believe. Hoping, meanwhile, that a hat would convict her. You worshipped her until she became fascinated by a young savage animal known as Pepe Gatto.
No.
At that point, the worship shifted into reverse, and you went green with hate. Hate that drove you to climb that fire escape that you know so much about and shoot him in the back.
You're dreaming.
Jerry Fay saw you in the act. And when she was about to divulge your identity to Archie, you killed her too. Meaning to hang her murder on your wife along with the other killing.
That's a lie.
Mr. Lawson, I didn't bring you here to apprehend your wife. There's really no reason why she should come here. I suggested this visit in the belief that you'd betray some guilty knowledge of the place and circumstances. As you have so obligingly just done.
You're clever, aren't you?
Monumentally.
But a little hasty.
So, why?
There's a gun in my hand. Haven't you noticed?
Of course, sir, but yours is not the only gun in the world.
What?
Sit still, Arnold. And don't turn around.
Your wife, Mr. Lawson. Come in, my dear.
Celia, what are you doing here?
I came to get a hat that I'd left in Pepe's closet. It suddenly was clear to me what was in the wind. And I thought I'd better remove all evidence that you could possibly use against
Celia,
me.
Celia, listen, you must understand.
I understand one thing only. Pepe's gone. And you took him away.
Listen, please, if you let me explain, you'll understand.
Yeah.
Please, honey, help me.
Sure, I'll help you.
Oh, Celia!
Well, that's all, Mr. Wolf. What now?
Archie, why is it when you drive it always gets so crowded outside?
Will it go tough on her, boss?
Why not? She killed a man in cold blood. Though she actually saved our lives while doing so.
I hope that helps her at the trial.
I hope so, Archie. After all, if she hadn't done what she did, what would have happened to the lobster bisque?
What lobster bisque?
The lobster bisque that Fritz is making for dinner. Hurry, Archie. It really can't be appreciated unless it's eaten hot.
You have been listening to The New Adventures of Nero Wolfe, starring Sidney Greenstreet. Tonight's transcribed story was based on the characters created by Rex Stout. This is an Edwin Fadiman program, produced and directed by J. Donald Wilson. In the cast were Larry Dobkin as Archie Goodwin, and Ann Diamond, Charlotte Lawrence, Gerald Moore, Don Diamond, and Eddie Fields. Next week at this same time, Nero Wolfe and Archie will bring you The Case of the Killer Card. Don Stanley speaking. Three chimes mean good times on NBC.
That is The Adventures of Nero Wolfe, a broadcast going back to January 5th, 1951, with The Case of the Deadly Sellout, starring Sidney Greenstreet. And who else was in that cast, Lisa?
You're going to tell me, though.
Well, a lot of people, including Lawrence Dobkin. He was Archie Goodwin. But then Gerald Moore, who played Philip Marlowe on radio, was kind of the bad guy in that episode. Don Diamond. And then I'm guessing his wife, Ann Diamond, was in that. Kind of a two-for-one there. And then Eddie Fields and Don Stanley doing the announcing. So that was The Adventures of Your Great-Grand-Uncle, Nero Wolfe. Let's take a quick break. Then it's more on the WGN Radio Theater. Do you love classic radio shows? Hi, this is Carl Amari. I'm the curator of the Classic Radio Club at classicradioclub.com. I have over 100,000 classic radio shows, and now you can receive the best of the best from my collection each and every month. Join the Classic Radio Club at classicradioclub.com and receive 10 shows on 5 CDs for only $4.99 plus shipping and handling. Then each month, I'll send you 10 more shows on 5 CDs for only $14.99 plus shipping and handling. Or you can choose the digital option and pay $4.99 the first month and only $9.99 each month thereafter, and never pay shipping and handling. Each classic radio show will be superior sound quality, and you'll never get a duplicate show. And if you're not completely satisfied, you can cancel at any time with no further obligation. Start receiving the greatest classic radio shows of all time for less than $10 a month if you choose the digital option. Log on to classicradioclub.com.
Your brain is an amazing thing, but as you get older, it naturally begins to change, causing a lack of sharpness or even trouble with recall. Thankfully, the breakthrough in Prevagen helps your brain and actually improves memory. The secret is an ingredient originally discovered in jellyfish. In clinical trials, Prevagen has been shown to improve short-term memory. Prevagen, the name to remember, now available in stores everywhere. Statements have not been evaluated by the FDA. This product is not intended to treat, cure, or prevent any disease.
Eating natural and organic is not as expensive as it used to be, especially when you shop at Woodman's. They have aisles full of certified organic food, from fruits and vegetables to dairy products and even meat, all at great prices. They even have a huge selection of wheat-free and gluten-free items. I can come to Woodman's and get everything I need all under one roof. My name is Alicia, and I shop at Woodman's.
Timeless, memorable music is back on the radio
at 87.7 FM.
Great artists.
Great songs.
Great memories.
Right now on 87.7 FM. The music you've been missing is on 87.7 FM.
MeTV FM.
Before that MeTV promo there, we heard a Woodman's radio commercial. Woodman's is one of our new sponsors. Very excited to have them on board here. And we decided, in talking about what we could do together, besides talking about Woodman's and how great they are, because Woodman's has been around since 1919. I think that's what, a couple of years after you were born?
No, that was the year I was born.
Oh, 1919. Yeah, employee-owned. They're the largest grocery selection in the state, and they have 16 locations, and they're building more. They have 16 locations right now. 12 of their supermarket chain stores are in Wisconsin, and 4 of them are in Illinois. And the Illinois stores are in Buffalo Grove, which is not far from you, and I know you've been at that one, and so have I. Carpentersville, North Aurora, and Rockford. Now, all of the locations are open 24 hours a day, which is great for me and for you because we get off
kind of the late nighters.
Yeah, we get off the radio here at 1 or 2 o'clock in the morning, stop at a Woodman's, do our shopping, and every day is low price day at Woodman's because there are low prices in every aisle every day. So in talking to the folks over at Woodman's, I said, you know, it might be fun to give away classic radio digital downloads to your shoppers or people that might switch over to Woodman's to get digital downloads. And it's absolutely free. If you just shop at Woodman's, just take a photograph with your iPhone of your receipt.
Do you have to have an iPhone to
do it?
Well,
no, you can use any kind of...
Just checking.
You could do it off an Android phone too, right?
I would think so.
Take a picture. Well, I don't have an Android phone. I have an iPhone.
I know.
Right? Ay-yay-yay. Ay-yay-yay, Lisa.
You could take a picture with anything.
Yeah, take a picture.
And you can email it.
Email it.
To Woodman's, WGN@gmail.com.
How did you remember that? You have a good memory. You know that?
Yep. And you know what will happen? Within 24 hours, Carl will send you the, what is it, 10 digital downloads?
It's 12.
12? There
yeah.
you go.
Yeah, 12.
12. And every month it changes.
It changes,
so
yeah.
This is January's, and then February you'll have 12 new ones.
You can send any a dollar amount. As long as you shop at Woodman's and they give you a receipt, take that receipt, take a picture of it.
With your iPhone.
Well, whatever you want. Email it to woodmanswgn@gmail.com. And then I'll send you, or Rob, I should say Rob Feldman, will send you these shows, and he'll email them to you, and you'll have them, and you can listen to them on any listening
device.
Well,
it's a good excuse to give Woodman's a try.
Yeah, try them. They're great. And they do have, like, the whole organic section. It's just grabbing huge stores. I mean, they have everything. Everything at Woodman. So we really are really happy about them coming on board. So when we come back here next week, Lisa, we have some more classic radio
shows.
We
do. We have your favorite. We're going to start with Boston Blackie.
Yeah,
and
I love
then we're
Boston
gonna
Blackie.
Go to Father Knows Best.
You know
Best.
Why I like Boston Blackie so much?
Why?
Because he was a kind of a smart alecky detective.
And you'd like that
I
because
like that about him. He was kind of smart. He was kind of a smarty pants.
Hmm.
You know, I like that.
Kind of relate
he
to
would
him
make
a little
kind
bit.
Of corny jokes.
Really?
Yeah.
I don't know anybody like that.
Corny jokes. He was a smart aleck.
Hmm.
And he was a good guy.
Was he short?
Probably.
Probably. Okay, we're going to start off with a little Carl Amari. I mean, Boston Blackie. Then we're going to go to Father Knows Best. Everybody loves Father Knows Best. And then we're going to play Murder at Midnight. That's Saturday night. On Sunday night, we have The Six Shooter.
You know who stars in The Six Shooter?
Who?
James Stewart.
Yeah. He's the best.
He's Britt Ponsett.
And we've got the Jack Benny program. Everybody
wow,
asks
that's,
for Jack
you know what?
Benny.
That's quite a lineup.
We know how to do
good
it
job,
right.
Lisa.
Thanks,
Boston
Carl.
Blackie, Father Knows Best, Murder at Midnight, The Six Shooter, and Jack Benny.
And I will be here.
Gosh.
I'm back for good. We've renegotiated, and
yep.
all's well
I'll tell you
here.
What. Lisa drives a hard bargain. Her contract, man.
Yeah. Equal pay, Carl.
I
equal
know.
Pay.
She was like, I'm just going to go to Florida for then. Until you until, go to Florida until
we get things worked
you
out.
Decide to have me come back.
Well, luckily, I was missed.